be to our God. There are times when we have to go back as a child of God and review things we already know, get a fresh glimpse of them, get a fresh hold on them. Amen. We call it revival. We call it refreshing. But it's just something that has to be done from time to time in our Christian life. Luke chapter 24, verse number 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." That's a powerful portion of Scripture right there, giving us insight to everything Christ went through had been prophesied, written before, and he fulfilled every bit of it. That is why our God's an awesome God. Hallelujah. Then opened he their... praise God. Can I read that again? Maybe I didn't finish it well enough. Then opened he their understanding. I made that statement this morning about the King James Version Bible. It's not a matter of whether man can understand it with his own intellect. It's a matter of whether God is in a position in his heart that he can give him understanding. That's the whole purpose of God's Word. Not that it can be easily understood, but that man realizes, I need God to understand it. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. Thank you for standing for the opening text and the reading of God's Word here tonight. I want to preach tonight on the prerequisite for the promise. The baptism in the Holy Ghost. What's got to transpire? What do I need to do to be filled with the Spirit of God? What is my part that I need to play? Now, we shared a little bit this morning about becoming that dependent vessel upon God, but finding the reality that even though I'm dependent on God, I have my part to play. I got the things I must fulfill and I must do. So what is my part in preparing myself, preparing my mind, preparing my heart, preparing the atmosphere, if you will, to be filled with the Spirit of God? And from these scriptures that I'm going to share with us tonight, I want to bring about a few things that are just, once again, simple things. They're not complex things. They're not difficult things. They're simple things. And I don't know why, but the Lord has really been kind of emphasizing how that his kingdom and following him is not a complex system, but is just the simplicity of sincerity and of wholeheartedness. That's what sincerity is, being serious about following Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so we find that Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. He's opening their understanding. He's giving them understanding of scriptures. But there's something that he didn't give them understanding of yet. He expounded to them everything about the past. The death, the burial, the resurrection. He showed them all the scriptures about the past. But then he said, go tarry in Jerusalem, that you might be endued with power from on high. And he did not expound upon that. He didn't give them the scriptures in Joel. That come a little bit later. He didn't tell them anything about it other than, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Don't you go, and I'm going to try to expound here a little bit in Oklahoma terms. Don't you go about trying to do your Christian business. Don't you go about trying to tell everybody about what I just showed you. Don't you go doing your own thing. Because here's the one thing I want you to do. Can I say that again? Here's the one thing I want you to do. Does that sound familiar if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis? There's one commandment, one thing I want you to do. Don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now Jesus has brought salvation. Now Jesus has enlightened the disciples. And then he says, there's one thing I want you to do. The one thing he wanted them to do is tarry. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go try to do anything. But tarry until. So he gave the stipulation. This is how long you tarry. Until you be endued with power from on high. Now, here's some questions. Things I want us to see and understand and perceive. Number one, they had no earthly idea nor any understanding what power from on high was. Now, you and I are at a disadvantage, in a sense, because we know the doctrine of Pentecost. To them, there was no such thing. All they knew is Christ, crucified, dead, buried, rose again, and all power had been given unto him in heaven and in earth. That's a lot to know, though, isn't it? Praise God. And then the next command that he gave, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. That's it. For I will then tell you. Whew. Now, you can go to Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, and you... What'd you start that for? Praise the Lord. You can go to Acts chapter 9 in Saul of Tarsus, and you can find that he met Jesus Christ. He believed. I mean, it's evident. He believed everything the disciples had been telling him. Because everywhere Saul of Tarsus went to find a Christian, guess what he heard? He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He heard Jesus Christ crucified, dead, and buried, and rose the third day and ascended into heaven. Hallelujah. That's what he heard everywhere he went. Hallelujah. Even though he was persecuting them, that's what he... And when he met Jesus Christ, he didn't have any doubt about it. Lord, what would you have me to do? What was his command? Go into Damascus and it will be told you. You see, this is all about faith. It's all about allegiance. It's all about trust. It's all about becoming dependent upon God. It's all about humility. Those disciples, they had to humble themselves, go and begin to tarry and begin to wait for something, someone they knew nothing about. Other than the fact that their Lord, their Master, their Savior said, do not try to operate without being endued with power from on high. Woo, hallelujah. And so here is one prerequisite for the promise, is learning to wait and tarry upon God. Amen. Well, that doesn't mean they just went and sat and stared at the wall. What did they do? As you begin to read the story, they begin to study the scriptures. They had already been taught and perceived that God is the revealer of scriptures. Have you ever wondered why they were studying the scriptures? Because they had no idea what they were tarrying and waiting on. And so they went to the scriptures because they were now enlightened enough to know that if the Bible had talked about everything that Christ was going to come and do and how it was fulfilled by the Word of God, they were looking for what power from on high was going to be. That's just natural mankind. We all do it. Hey, brother, I got something I want you to do. Yeah. Mine runs every project in the church. Ask a young person, hey, can you help me? Yeah, what do you want me to do? That's just natural to want to know what to do. They had no idea. So what did they do? They did the right thing. They started searching the scriptures. See, that's another prerequisite. Hallelujah. Understanding. Go read. I mean, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you've not been filled with the Spirit of God, you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost of God, then you need to be going and studying the scriptures where this transpires, where it happens, and begin to look. And that's really what I'm trying to share here tonight, is that prerequisite of that promise is gearing up my mind, gearing up my heart, and pursuing after the promise of the Father, just like these disciples did. They knew nothing about it, and really, until you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you really know nothing about it. And even if they would have found the scriptures, and maybe they did, but I don't think they did until after that the Holy Ghost was come upon them, and they began to speak in other tongues, and they began to prophesy, and they began to worship God, magnify God, and talk about all the wonderful works of God, that Peter and the 11 stood up and said, "This is that." How'd he know that? Because now he was filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and the Holy Ghost was bringing that to him. He was revealing those scriptures to him, just like Jesus had 10 days previous to this. See, once again, they had no idea that it was going to be 10 days later. They had no idea how long they'd be in Jerusalem waiting for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, once again, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day that he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Praise God. Well, now here's insight. They knew it was only going to be days. You can rest assured they were hanging on every word that they heard. It's just the way mankind is when you don't know. Now, how many like to travel somewhere with not knowing the way to the destination? I'm not one of them. I'll sit down the night before, pull it up on Google Maps, and I'll see exactly how to get to it. I'll pull the streets up to where I can see them real well. And because if I don't, I'll be on the other side of town, because in my mind I'll think it's over on 71st Street in Tulsa. And it wasn't. It was over on 51st Street in Tulsa. Because I didn't pull it up. I didn't look at it. And so I was just going off where I thought I remembered it was. Going on a trip. Used to, I didn't have GPS. Well, when I was preaching revivals, we didn't have GPS. We didn't have a cell phone. We had an app. And I'm not talking about the bodybuilder guy. I'm talking about the map that you had to plot your course and find your exits and get it all in your mind before you ever launched it. Well, that's what these disciples were doing. All right, what do you think the promise of the Father is? What do you think is going to happen to us? What do you think God's going to do? I mean, what more could be done than what Jesus has already done? But yet he said, greater works shall ye do if I go to the Father and send the Comforter back. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't know. This is exciting me. I want to get full of the Holy Ghost fresh and anew here tonight. Amen. It's just the reality. It was. Here's another prerequisite. I've got to believe and understand and lay hold of the fact that it's a command. It's not an option to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is the command of the Savior to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You see, this is the reality of it all. Do I have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? Why do you even look at it like that? Are you looking for an excuse not to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Why wouldn't you want to be filled with the Spirit of the living God? See, why are you even asking that question? Shouldn't even be in your mind. What should be in your mind? Lord, show me the way to be filled. Because He will not withhold any good thing from heaven unto His children. I mean, he said there when he was sharing that understanding, you as fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. If your child asks for an egg, will you give him a serpent? How much more will your heavenly Father, if you ask for the Spirit, give you the Spirit? Hallelujah. So why are you looking for a way around not being filled with the Holy Ghost instead of simply asking God to fill you with the Holy Ghost? Oh, praise God. See, so, you know, we don't find these disciples, although, as I move on, and I got to move on, I'm going to enjoy this too much if I don't. Let me read on. 1 Corinthians 15:5. It says, and that he was seen of Cephas, which is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. In other words, some have passed away, passed on, went on to the reward. So there was 500 at one time. I don't know if all 500 got the memo, tarry in Jerusalem. I don't know if all 500 got that memo. But I do know from this next scripture, Acts 1 and 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of the names together were about 120. So 120 out of 500 got the memo. As they were tarrying in Jerusalem and they were praying and they were reading the scriptures and they were fellowshipping with one another and encouraging one another and keeping one another pressing forward, pressing on, the promise will come. The promise will, I don't know, it's been 5 days. Do you think the promise is really going to come? Do you know what the promise is? Remember, Jesus said the Comforter will come. He said the Spirit of truth will come. So, I mean, they had insight to that something pertaining to God going to transpire. Praise God. Woo. Hallelujah. And so we see that not everybody just real happy about receiving the promise of the Father. So it's not anything new for those that try to sidestep it, get away from it. There was a multitude there, 380 there, that didn't do what they were told, if you will. They didn't take it as a command, they took it as an option, and they weren't there that day unless they were among that 3,000 that got saved. Praise God. So we see then, here's some prerequisites. I've got to be willing to be obedient to the command. I've got to be willing to continue seeking and asking, tarrying. That's what that's talking about. Waiting In other words, not getting impatient, but continually seeking and asking of God, learning of God's word, learning of God's ways. And in John chapter 21, verse number 21 and 22, we'll go skip a few of those scriptures there. This is the story where Peter went a fishing, and Jesus brought him fish, built a fire. They caught a vast 153 fish that day. But what I want to get down to is John 21, 21 and 22. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Another prerequisite is get your eyes off everybody else. Get your eyes off everybody else's experience and get your eyes on Jesus. You're not really seeking the Holy Ghost. You're really seeking Jesus Christ and His fullness. You're seeking a deeper relationship with the Son of God. And the promise of the Father is the gift of the Holy Ghost to bring that to pass. Amen. Now, we've got to go off what the Scripture says, and we know the next chapter, number 2, that when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That's found in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 14. And they were all there just continually praying. Continue. It was on their mind continually. For 10 days they continued together. And when the day of, and this is important, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. For that was the set aside time by the Father to send the promise. Hallelujah. I just want to throw this in because I was just reading this earlier today. And Brother John, I've got those scriptures for you. And that paper that you was asking me about, I haven't forgot you, brother. Sometimes I'm slow. Amen. But this is one of the reasons why we gather on the first day of the week, because once again, Christ rose the first day of the week. Once again, Christ fulfilled all of the Sabbaths according to the law. Christ fulfilled all of that, and we're not held to any of those Sabbaths anymore. And now we worship our Savior and our God on the first day, because number one, the resurrection was on the first day of the week, and number two, Pentecost was on the first day of the week also. So everything in this new covenant is dealing with the first day of the week, the new beginning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's why it's the first day of the week, and that's just a little extra in here. But the reality is it was the set appointed time. Pentecost was going to be fulfilled by the Spirit of God coming to this earth to begin to fill the church. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And we've read it so many times in Acts chapter number 2. It's not even among my scriptures here tonight because we know the story. And as they were there, and when the appointed time had come and the day of Pentecost was coming full, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost came down as a ball of fire, if you will. And fire, tongues of fire set on each one of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them that utterance. What did that show forth? That showed forth that 120 in that upper room, and of course this is what the Bible tells us, they're in one mind and they're in one accord. That means they were thinking about the same thing and wanting the same thing and pursuing the same thing. Amen? And when the Holy Ghost came, and He filled them all because they were humbly waiting for the promise of the Father because Jesus said to do it. That showed forth their humility and their contrition. Though they didn't understand, there they were for 10 days, not knowing what was going to transpire, but knowing this, the Lord said, tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. in Acts chapter number 10, and I'm going to be closing. While Peter yet spake these words, this is verse number 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Wow. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Here's another key factor, a prerequisite, if you will. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. The whole synopsis of this story in Acts chapter 10 is God had to prepare Peter first so he would even go down to a Gentile's house. He had to work a work in Peter so Peter could be evangelistic. Praise God. Does that sound familiar? Glory to God. And so Peter goes down, and what does Peter preach? The death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, and that his blood is for the remission of our sins, and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And before he ever gets done with his message and his preaching, they all get filled with the Holy Ghost, because every one of their hearts, if you will, in my mind, I see the light bulbs coming on across the room in 10 people as Peter's preaching. This is what they've been waiting for. This is what they've been longing for. And as that light bulb or that heart surrenders to God, the light bulb comes on, the light bulb comes on, the light bulb comes. 10 light bulbs come on, and the Holy Ghost comes down and fills them. Woo, hallelujah. So here's another prerequisite, if you will. The light bulb's got to come on. The heart has to be in a place of faith. It has to be a place of belief. It has to receive everything that the Lord is bringing to them. Hallelujah. And so then if they continue to receive everything the Lord's coming, they'll begin to speak in other tongues, because it will be coming also. There will be the reality of the holiness of God. There will be the joy of the salvation of God. There will be that reality of the greatness of God and the love of God. And there will be a joy that wells up within the heart and within the soul. And all this is going to be transpiring. And everybody feels this and realizes this is God. And when it comes time to speak in tongues, they stop. You can't do that. You're doing great up to that point. I can talk about this all night long, because I've been there so many times when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Receiving everything God was bringing until it came time to hit full humility and speak a language that you don't know, which then to you sounds like gibberish. And thus you think it's foolish. Whoa, where'd the humility go? You just dropped it. See, that's why it takes that humility to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what was transpiring here at the house of Cornelius. They were so excited about this man named Peter coming. And he gathered all of his household. Glory. And Peter began, here's how excited they were about Peter coming. The minute Peter walks in the door, they're worshiping Peter. Wow. That they wanted to know. They wanted to do whatever needed to be. If I've got to run down and I've got to kneel down, it doesn't make any difference. I want what God has for me. I want what God has for me. Hallelujah. And when I will continue to follow, because God will take you on a journey as he's filling you with his Holy Ghost. He may take you to the far corner of the church. He may speak to your heart about something you're holding back. And when you respond to that divine inspiration with a positive human response, then He'll begin to fill you with His Spirit. Like I said, you'll know it's God. You'll know it's the Spirit of God. And you'll feel that love of God. And you'll feel that joy. And you may even begin to weep, but it's not because of pain or anguish. Now, I've seen some weep because of pain and anguish because it wasn't joy they were feeling yet. It was called conviction. Sometimes the conviction's got to come before the joy. You know, when you're just off doing your own thing and you're trying to seek God now, sometimes conviction's going to come first. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? It's a journey sometimes. Peter, do you love me? Peter was exasperated. He poured out his heart. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. I will do anything for you. Follow me. Follow me. Woo, hallelujah. You see, to have that fullness of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to follow Jesus all the way to speaking in an unknown tongue and finding that place of absolute surrender. I personally believe God has chosen speaking in tongues because James gives us insight that the tongue is the most unruly member of the human race. No man can tame it except the man. Woo. Hallelujah. And that is why you must go all the way to be. You do know what baptism is, don't you? You know, it's not just sprinkling on the head, it's a full submersion into the water, water baptism. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is no different. You can hit the full stage all the way to the tongue and stop. Most people do at their first encounters. Now, some are just so in love with Jesus Christ when He comes and loves them, fills them. I remember one brother down at Victory Temple. I mean, we prayed for John Weeks, and lo and behold, he got saved. Can you believe that? We prayed for John Weeks. He come in, got saved. Within a week, he come to a service. The Spirit of God was moving, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. No one had talked to him about it. Nobody preached to him about it. He's just in love with Jesus Christ. Spirit of God was moving. He went down to that altar, fell down, hallelujah, on the floor, speaking in tongues. I mean, I'd already been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I saw that. I said, Lord, why in the world did it take me so long? Simple answer, because you are you. Hallelujah. I just had to agree with him. How could I argue? Praise God. See, it's not a matter of a certain circumstance. I remember when Brother Daniel got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, he'd worked at it, sought God, you know, just time and time again, get to that one place. And one Thursday night, sitting on the very back, wasn't really a whole lot going on that night. I think everybody was asleep. I'm not for sure. But we just began to sing, and he just stood up, lifted up his hands, started marching down that aisle. And by the time he got to the front altars, he was speaking in tongues. I mean, that wasn't his first time that he sought, but that was the first time he followed all the way. Follow all the way. There's a song, I ain't singing it quite right, I ain't got the tune quite right, but that's a hymn, you know, from one of those King James songbooks that talks about the reality. I've got to follow all the way through. I'll never forget. We took some of the church boys when we passed our Good Hope to my dad's swimming pool for a swimming party. And there was a couple boys, Heath and Keith. I see them from time to time. Well, mainly Keith. Here, he lives here in Chelsea. I've invited him to church I don't know how many times. Yeah, I know I need to come. Now, we took them there swimming. And at that point in time, I was a little thinner, a little lighter, and didn't have all these pushing 60 problems. And, you know, I could do a backflip off diving board, no problem. I mean, just do a completion, it's done. Oh, Brother Pepper teaches how to do that. No problem, just get up there, and you just hit that board. And it was the most hilarious thing in the whole 5 months. You'd watch these boys, and they wanted to do it so bad. They'd run out there, hit the end of that diving board, and just plop. And they said, Brother Pepper, why can't we do this? I said, guys, if you're going to do it, you got to be committed to it all the way through. You can't get up there at the end of that board and decide, I'm not going to do it. I mean, you just, the belly buster's going on here, you know. And so they would go a little bit farther, and they would just spring up a little bit and get. I said, guys, you're still not committed. I said, you got to give it all you got. But then, you know, within 5-6 tries, they were doing it. You see, that's the way it is sometimes when we're wanting to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We just can't give ourselves all the way to it. When you will go with it all the way through, you will come for speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. The prerequisites are just the reality of it's the promise of the Father. It's a command of God. I must be humble and I must follow all the way through. It's a faith factor, church. Do you trust the Lord enough that you can follow Him to the unknown? That's where these disciples were. They had to follow Him to the unknown. But then the unknown became the known. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Could I have a piano player back here tonight? The promise of the Father. Praise the Lord. It's for you, your children, and as many as are afar off, the Bible says. That means it's for us today. A lot of people don't want to accept that, don't want to believe that, but that doesn't change the fact of what God's Word says. God's Word still lets us know that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is real. It's for believers today, and it's not an option. It's just part of your journey with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior, as your Lord, as your King. It's the next step, hallelujah, in your conversion experience. It's the next step in your obedience to Jesus Christ. It's just part of the kingdom of God. It is the gift of the Father. Hallelujah. Because of His love for His children, He gives us an earnest, a part of heaven, so that we can build that relationship and our faith be strong. Hallelujah. It is the power whereby we can walk with our God. That is the purpose. It is a blessing. It is joy. It is peace. Hallelujah. It is the greatest feeling in the whole wide world when the Spirit of God touches you, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. But it's so we can build our relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father. Hallelujah, with great reality and great power. Glory to our God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. God of heaven, we praise you. God, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for the promise, Lord, that it had been written in days gone by. Lord, it came to pass. You brought power to your church. God, we thank you, Lord, that that power is still available for us today. Hallelujah. That we might walk therein and be refreshed therein, be renewed therein. Hallelujah. And, oh, Lord God, that we might operate in your Spirit. Praise be to your holy name. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord God, that you would baptize in your Holy Ghost this very night. Lord, if there be a heart that's hungry, Lord God, a soul that's thirsty, Lord, a believer that needs to be filled with the Spirit of God, that tonight, Lord, you would begin to move. You would begin to draw. You would begin to fill. Lord, because it is your love you desire to pour out upon your children. Hallelujah. It is a strength, oh God, that we desperately need in these last days. Thank you, God, for the testimonies tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the songs that have been sung. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Just add unto it, oh God, the works that you desire to do as we hear what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight, you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want to invite you to come to the altar of prayer. If you're here tonight and it's been a long time since you've been filled with the Spirit of God and come forth speaking in tongues, I want you to come to the altar of prayer. You see, it's not a one-time experience. It's not one-time filled, old, always filled. It's a daily encounter with the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Holy. Holy. Because all he's waiting for is someone to ask, Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Lord, refresh me with your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lord, renew me with your Holy Ghost. Praise be to our God. I encourage everyone to come, find a place to pray. I encourage everyone to ask, God, fill me with your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Fresh and anew.